Okay, we start our meeting and we are going to get an update about the insurance project by Andrea.
Thank you. So as Hans said, this session is intended to provide you with an update both on our progress in finalising IFRS 17 and also on our plans for supporting its implementation. Starting with the finalisation plans then, so since the November meeting, we've been updating the draft for the decisions that you took at the November meeting, and we posted also a webinar discussing those key decisions that you took in November, and we also provided some drafting from the revised draft about experience adjustments and transition on the website. We circulated that revised draft to you in the middle of December for comment, and at the same time we used that revised draft for what we normally call the fatal flaw draft. So just to remind you, the fatal flaw draft is designed to be essentially an editorial and drafting process to ensure the clarity of the words and that reflects the board's decisions. But normally we use a small group of technical accounting specialists that are expected to perform a very thorough word-for-word review focused on how those words could or would be interpreted once it's final. It's normally limited to the national standard setters, regulators, audit firms, because they are the ones with the technical accounting expertise to be able to perform this review. However, in acknowledgement of the significance of the new standard and the close following that we've had on the progress, we've expanded the scope of that final review process beyond our normal processes, both in terms of what was covered by the review and also by who was invited to participate in it. So we already supplemented, for example, that final stage progress with process by performing the topic-based testing, which we reported to you last November, and we further expanded the scope of that review by sharing the fatal flaw draft with a wider group than normal, so that we could obtain a broader range of input. In addition to that, we asked some individuals to perform editorial and drafting reviews on actually two drafts of the standard rather than only one, as we normally expected. We normally would, and that's been, you know, quite a significant amount of work for those participating in the review, and we were impressed that people were willing to do it and provided as much input as they did. So we've now reviewed the external comments on the standard basis illustrative examples, and these are available to you now on the internal SharePoint, so you should have access to them if you want to ask us any questions. Although we received a large number of these editorial comments and comments that we think we can deal with in the drafting, we've also noted a few items in their comments that we think we should discuss with you so that you can confirm to us that you're happy with the way we've resolved those issues. And you'll be pleased to know, however, that those are not a fundamental reconsideration of the model. However, because we feel we need to bring a paper to the February meeting on that, we are now revising the timetable, so we expect to publish IFRS 17 in May of this year. Moving on to implementation then, there's general acceptance, of course, both here and everywhere else, that we need to ensure that we will provide adequate support for the implementation of IFRS 17. Last October, we had a discussion with the Advisory Council about the steps that we might take after the publication of the new standard, and at that meeting we discussed the various ways that we could and should support implementation. In particular, we discussed the possibility of establishing a transition resource group, which is one of the tools that we have available to us to support implementation of new standards. It's not a routine part of our process, but our previous experience has shown that such groups can be quite an effective way of ensuring that the standard is being read and implemented in the way that we intend. So most of those attending the Advisory Council meeting supported the establishment of a transition resource group, and it was seen very much as a way to achieve more consistent application and to better manage our interaction with local and international regulators. However, there was a variety of views expressed around the table about how a transition resource group for IFRS 17 might be constituted. So we think that because IFRS 17 is a fundamental change to existing practice for some entities, and many of the concepts in IFRS 17 are new, that the magnitude of change is going to make the implementation for many entities quite challenging, and it's also going to create quite significant operational, has got some significant operational implications. We also think that one of the challenges is that entities will be approaching the transition to this new standard from many different perspectives. And so we think it's a good idea to establish a transition resource group, and we intend to do so. Clearly, the matters such as the objectives of the group, who should be the members, how the group should operate, these are all important things that we need to think about for the success of the group. And so that's what we're focusing on now. We're considering the objectives and scope, and we'll take into account the experience that we've gained from the groups for IFRS 9 and IFRS 15, as well as the implementation of IFRS 16, which did not have a transition resource group. So we'll be discussing that with the project teams for each of those groups, and we'll try and establish the boundaries of transition resource group over the next few months. Finally, I wanted to give you an update on the effects analysis. Following the effects analysis for IFRS 16, we're using the same sort of format because that was very well received. The effects analysis is going to provide qualitative information about the entities that are most likely to be affected by IFRS 17, the likely benefits, the likely costs, and the effects in the financial statements. And it's not intended to provide a quantitative impact assessment of IFRS 17 in the same way that IFRS 16 did. Had the same for its effects analysis. So you've got our effects analysis, and we're expecting your comments shortly, and we intend to obtain the ballots for the effects analysis together with the ballots on the standard basis and illustrative examples. In February, we are planning to provide the Due Process Oversight Committee of the Trustees with an overview of the contents of the effects analysis for IFRS 17 and an analysis of how the effects analysis meets the requirements of the Due Process Handbook and the recommendations of the Effects Analysis Consultative Group from its November 2014 report. And we'll also be providing information about our plans for supporting implementation. Does anyone have any questions?
Sure.
So would the plan be that once we've worked out what we think the type of questions are and the type of membership we'd have on the transition resource group, that we'd put something on our website to ask people to show interest in being part of that group, so there'd be a sort of process that we'd go through?
Yes, we would try and indicate in that process what sort of person we're looking for, so that we'd have presumably some criteria for who would be considered as potential applicants.
And I assume that the process would be the same as it has been in the past in terms of public meetings, public papers, et cetera, rather than it being a private closed
public
meeting discussion.
My assumption is yes.
Yeah.
Greg Wong?
It might be too early, but I want to ask you the questions in relation to the possible other the mandate of the transitional group we may form in the near future. This standard is basically a measurement standard, and it will rely on significantly on the actuarial's assessment. My view is, we may discuss later, but we should not dig too much about the methodologies and possible variations of the assessment techniques. And in particular, so many techniques may have different variations in terms of mathematics. Also, different countries may got different names. And remember, when we discuss about the methodology to assess this adjustment, and my personally raised this issue, so Amala also mentioned statistically got different names, and if people want to say that we want to have more consistency in terms of methodology, and I don't think we should go that far. This is my early views.
Well, I think that's one of the key questions that we'll be looking at when we determine what the sort of mandate of the group might be. And if I look at what we did with impairment, what we told people was that our expertise was not to opine on whether your model was an appropriate model for expected credit loss, that rather we'd look at what the words in the standard said, what the requirements were, confirm what the objectives were. So I think that would be something that we'd be considering when we scope the mandate for this group as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.